We're essentially building the digital prison of the future, a system that knows you better than you know you.
Why do we need to bury family farms and make fortunes for some people and steal fortunes from other people? It doesn't make sense.
Get out of the way, Chief. Nope, get out of the way. You work for us.
Blissfully ignorant of local politics until Microsoft showed up in my backyard.
And I wanted to talk about how we were using an Israeli cybersecurity company to monitor all employee communications.
I think AI will probably, like most likely, sort of lead to the end of the world.
That creepy quote is from big tech CEO Sam Altman, whose company OpenAI is one of the biggest names in artificial intelligence. Folks, when you look around the country, it appears the majority of citizens are against data centers moving into their town.
Whether through song,
not here, not anywhere.
Protests against an AI data center in Union County, New Jersey.
Yet despite this, there are hundreds of them springing up around the nation. Now, here's what big tech executives are telling us on why we should be welcoming data centers into our communities.
We are going to be the dominant player, or China's going to be the dominant player, and there will just be very different rules depending on who wins.
Powering the AI revolution, while also advancing a more reliable, affordable, and clean power grid.
Everybody's ChatGPT, everybody gets it for free, and everybody has access to just this like crazy thing such that everybody can be more productive, make way more money.
AI is the biggest technical thing ever in my lifetime. I mean, it is so profound.
However, for many Americans, there is a growing suspicion that they will be the ones to foot the bill for this endeavor while big tech rakes in the reward and profits. And if this data center bet goes wrong, the downsides could be catastrophic. It could mean the destruction of our drinking water supply, the collapse of our already weakened electrical grids, massive price hikes on our monthly utility bills, and giving the government the power of extreme mass surveillance. And the list goes on. So with much on the line, I decided to travel across the country to understand this data center tsunami that is coming our way. So let's begin. But first, a quick word from the sponsor of today's episode. Folks, for this documentary, we've been on the road, a lot of road trips in Wisconsin and multiple states to all make this happen. And sometimes being on the road makes making documentaries difficult. Let me pull over and show you guys what I'm talking about. So if I'm just on the road and all I have is my laptop, when I'm working with really big files, like when we got these covert shots of this data center in Texas, using AnyDesk, because I can use my laptop as a portal to go into the work computer and operate from there, which makes things easy. Or another scenario, I want to see the footage of the town hall where a lot of people are really angry about data centers. Well, it's on Miguel's computer. So I can use AnyDesk from my laptop to go into his, and now I can access that file and start getting to work. One thing that's cool about AnyDesk is they work with a lot of anti-scammer channels like Scammer Payback and Jim Browning. The capabilities AnyDesk has can help me in my operation. Whatever mission you are on back home watching this, if there's something that can help, it is free for personal use, and they have custom pricing options if you are a business. Click my link in the description to get started. We gotta hit the road here. There's so much you gotta see. This data center story is huge, and you gotta learn all about it. Let's get to it.
Right now, Microsoft is building a massive new AI data center right here in Wisconsin, a project that could soon impact all of us.
We're pulling into a Wisconsin farmhouse that has been negatively impacted by this nearby data center. We're gonna get their story. And just remember, what's happening to this family could happen to you, could happen to your family members that live out in the country. I think rural people are being disproportionately affected by this crisis.
Folks, a data center is a massive industrial warehouse filled with thousands of computer servers that store and process digital information. These facilities serve as the backbone of the internet, making everything from streaming video to now artificial intelligence possible. And to begin this episode, we visit farmers in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, where almost a stone's throw away from their house, Meta began building a billion-dollar data center. And well, that's when the trouble began to start.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having us.
Sure.
Good to see you both. How are you?
Charlie Behrens is a beloved Wisconsin comedian and Emmy-winning journalist who has been traveling the state and speaking at rallies to help locals fight against data centers. Today, we join forces in Beaver Dam.
How long has this been in the family?
It's been in the Frank family since 1974. This farm has been established here for over 150 years.
When did you notice something was amiss in this house?
The main thing was probably right around the end of February. You know, we're turning on the faucets. The water is kind of discolored. It's not real great. Then we had nothing for water. We got someone out to take a look at the well, and then they declared it a dry well. You know, you're looking at either digging that well deeper or digging a whole new well, which could run you $20,000 to $25,000, depending on how deep you need to go.
Folks, let's look at the scale of data center water usage. A single large data center can consume up to 5 million gallons of water a day, which is equivalent to the daily water consumption of a town of 50,000 people. Also, roughly two-thirds of all new data centers being constructed are located in regions facing severe water shortages. In fact, some of our key countries' water basins are at risk. The Colorado River, which 40 million people depend on, is being targeted by data centers despite the river already being in the midst of a two-decade drought. The water levels of the Great Salt Lake in Utah are so low that residents are scared they will be facing dust storms. And in Wisconsin, where developers say they will funnel heated data center wastewater back into Lake Michigan, people are concerned that these elevated water temperatures may destroy the local ecosystems. So for many, these risks to our freshwater supplies don't seem to be worth it. Tell me in the comments what you think.
At this point, are you worried about quality of your own drinking water?
We've stopped drinking our water.
Who do you call in this situation?
I don't know. You know, we started out with our local city council, who seems to have no interest in anything that's going on in this township.
Have you tried contacting a lawyer?
Yeah, my husband did some calling around, and there wasn't a single one that wanted to talk to us about any of this.
Why do you think that is?
Does anybody want to take on $1 billion? You know?
Another Microsoft data center possibly coming to southeast Wisconsin. For the last several months, the Village of Caledonia Board's been discussing proposals for a data center there.
Prescott Balch, I live in Caledonia. I was part of the group that pushed back on the Microsoft data center in Caledonia.
Not because we're opposed to development, and we're in favor of maintaining the beauty and rural nature of this village.
The first thing that you notice when you look at these proposals is every single one of them is in a small town. They're doing that because the land is cheap and they can find proximity to power, which is the key attribute. A small town is no match for a Fortune 50 company when it comes to negotiating terms. And many of these small towns are desperate for some growth. They're desperate for some economic activity, and they get wined and dined and shown big giant numbers that they can only dream of. And they just want to figure out how to make the best deal as fast as possible, get it approved, and start reaping the rewards.
Across the country, we are hearing reports of people being distressed by the noise that these data centers are making. From Wisconsin.
That's just a high-pitched drone sound.
I can hear it inside my house, and that's what concerns me.
To Mississippi.
For months now, this is the sound communities near the plant hear.
To Arizona.
Neighbors say you'll start to hear a really irritating noise that you can't ever unhear.
This constant noise is driving some people crazy, and it has another sick side effect. It makes it nearly impossible for people to sell their homes, because at the end of the day, who would want to live next to a data center that puts out a relentless 24/7 hum?
It makes me feel like we just don't matter.
Your well that you've lived on for decades, it goes dry. Another company that moved in that doesn't even live here gets the access. It's feeling really Israeli in tactics to me. The water is what keeps a family going. And if we're willing to knock that off for families, what are we even signing ourselves up for? After all, if we don't have water, what do we have to live?
My name is Ben Green. I'm an assistant professor at the University of Michigan School of Information and the Ford School of Public Policy. So data centers use a lot of water, primarily for cooling. You know, developers will talk about things like closed loop systems. I think that does reduce the water use of the cooling. What I've seen is more than half of the water use of a data center is not directly in the cooling, but is in the generation of the electricity in a power plant that is then used to power the data center, provide the electricity for it.
And as these spurt up around the country and more of them grow, what are the potential implications on our water supply of this?
These data centers are just generally draining the water supply and could lead to issues where, you know, there's not enough water, and it's like, does the data center get water first? If there's a drought and people are being told to limit their water intake, not to water their lawns, and so on, are data centers actually receiving that same limitation? Probably not.
Wisconsin is the largest freshwater resources of any state in the country. And there's a reason data centers are popping up close to these resources is because they need massive, massive, massive amounts of water. And they can use like 3 to 5 million gallons of water a day. And companies will tout a closed loop cooling system. We really don't know what this closed loop cooling system is actually gonna mean for water use for these sites, or what happens to the water after it's gone through the closed loop.
What is leading you to become a whistleblower?
Some practices that I don't agree with.
I was approached by a whistleblower who has worked with the biggest data center companies in the world, including Meta and Amazon Web Services. Because he is still actively employed by one of these tech giants, he needed to remain completely anonymous, but what he said is chilling.
We're building the security apparatus that spies on every American. We're essentially building the digital prison of the future. A system that knows you better than you know you.
Do you think we have something to worry about as far as water consumption from the data center?
Yes, unfavorable billing practices. My company pays close to $250,000 per year in water usage. Every single day, we put almost 100,000 gallons of water into the atmosphere. And I wanted to talk about how we were using an Israeli cybersecurity company to monitor all employee communications and all of the status of our equipment.
Do you know what company that was?
The company's name is Checkpoint.
This is Checkpoint co-founder Shlomo Kramer. He's an Israeli cybersecurity entrepreneur who served in the IDF's notorious Unit 8200, which is the equivalent of America's NSA and is Israel's most elite cyber warfare group. Here's what he said on national television about free speech in the United States.
It's time to limit the First Amendment in order to protect it.
This Tel Aviv-based company is used by every single one of the top 50 companies in the Fortune 500, and with Kramer's attitude on free speech, his direct ties back to Unit 8200, and Israel's stranglehold elsewhere in this country, I can't help but feel concerned when a company connected to a foreign spy agency is acting as the cybersecurity gatekeeper for almost every major corporation in America.
I'm John Mazzarella. I own and operate Coastal Crypto. It's a data center mining operation facility.
To get the other side of the coin, we sit down with John Mazzarella. He's the owner of Coastal Crypto, a company which repurposes old industrial sites into crypto mining data centers. Here's what he had to say.
We tried to take a different approach to it. We saw that there was a lot of abandoned power, failing grid systems, buildings that were just vacant for years. Big issue right now with Google in my area is how much water they're going to consume. And they're saying it's proprietary information. I'm sure some of it's proprietary. I don't put that by them, but let's open up the doors a little bit. Why are we using that so much water? Well, what kind of situations are we using with the water? Because there's water that gets recycled, there's water that gets captured, there's water that gets evaporated. What kind of impact is their water usage actually going to have to that local economy? That information needs to be divulged.
The physical building will last nearly forever. It's, you know, concrete and steel, and they last a long time. They are very unique buildings. They're not like warehouses. They're not like office buildings. They don't have windows. They don't have tall ceilings. The historical average over the last 40 years is that a data center is good for 15 to 25 years, and then the technology change catches up with it, and it's not economically viable to retrofit it with the latest. The future reuse possibilities are limited. I don't think any of these municipalities looking into this are thinking about that risk.
The local political people are enjoying the influx of money, and there's a lot of local people who are enjoying the influx of money. Nobody wants to even hear the local people who are paying the price.
Let's wrap our heads around why, despite widespread citizen protests, local government officials continue to push through data centers. One big reason is the absolutely real boom of construction jobs, and the other is the pledge of massive tax revenue. Now, in places like Loudoun County, Virginia, estimates project that over $1 billion in taxes is coming to the county budget by taxing the servers inside the data centers. But for most other towns, this gets a little murky. You see, developers use a loophole called a TIF, which is a tax incentive that essentially takes the new promised property taxes and recycles them right back to pay for the data center's own infrastructure. So on paper, the town looks like it's getting rich, but in reality, it's not the citizens who benefit, it's just another tax break for big tech.
I just want that money so badly. I want that revenue. I want to be able to get the new construction on my books so that I have a higher valuation, so that I can raise taxes for the village and not raise taxes on each individual, you know, because I've got this big taxpayer providing a big slug of new money. But like all things too good to be true, because of those risks, they're outsized risks.
Most of the stories I see about data centers are about citizens losing the fight. But then I got wind of news out of Tucson, Arizona, where the citizens organized, fought back, and won. This is local leader Jennifer, and she tells us how.
My name is Jennifer Allen. I am the District 3 Supervisor and Vice Chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We had been told on the Board of Supervisors that there was a project kind of being cooked up called Project Blue. We were not given much information at all, not until right up before the vote that we took to approve it. We were told that we couldn't get much more information because of a non-disclosure agreement, but we were also told that we couldn't talk about it because of a non-disclosure agreement.
Another concerning aspect of data centers is the standard practice of imposing NDAs that prevent locals from knowing key details that impact their own city. For example, in the town of The Dalles in Oregon, Google built massive data centers there, and the local government, bound by an NDA, refused to tell the public how much water Google was using. After a prolonged legal battle and a lawsuit led by the town's local newspaper, The Oregonian, the city was forced to release these records, and it turns out that these data centers were using over a quarter of the city's water supply. And folks, it's stories like this that increase people's paranoia around data centers when, on one hand, big tech tells us that there's nothing to worry about, but on the other hand, they silence local officials and keep the usage around town resources secret from the very people that live there.
We sat in near silence and in the dark until Beal, the developer of Project Blue, gave a more comprehensive-ish presentation to the board. When it was first proposed, it was going to be a water-cooled system, meaning they were just going to keep pumping water, tens of thousands of gallons of water every day. We're a desert. We live in a beautiful desert, a lush desert, but it is a desert no less, with increasingly extreme heat, with longer periods of drought. We simply cannot sustain water-hungry industries like data centers.
Our water situation here is vastly different than it used to be. Our property values are probably actively tanking as we stand here and talk. But you look around here, there's no standing water anywhere. Drive to Fond du Lac and look in the fields on your way back towards Green Bay. There's water everywhere.
Does it feel like a hostile takeover of your own land and water?
It feels like a hostile takeover of my township. Why do we need to bury family farms and make fortunes for some people and steal fortunes from other people so cats can wear hats? It doesn't make sense.
So while farmers in Beaver Dam are worried about their wells running dry due to Meta's data center, 90 miles away in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, Microsoft has moved in. And Prescott explains how locals are worried about a massive tax increase coming their way.
Mount Pleasant puts $1 billion of new valuation on their books, which equals 17% increase in their total valuation. That meant they could raise their taxes 17%. Well, they chose to only raise it 8% and then hid that increase behind some other line item reductions to sort of hide it from the community members. The developer of the data center does not start contributing to that general fund until that tax increment district is closed out. Microsoft, in the case of Mount Pleasant, is not paying a dime towards that 8% increase. That is coming on the backs of every person in Mount Pleasant.
If we don't start standing up for what is right, this is going to continue forever until it's too late.
They're operating as a business. They have a lot of negotiating power when they're choosing these sites, and they get tax exemptions when they do so. They're not playing by the rules that you and I have to play by.
That's what the water looks like. And if the mayor of Beaver Dam wants to come drink it, she can. So at this point, it's completely contaminated. For sure.
So all this sand
just came out of that faucet, yeah.
And that never happened before.
No. Anybody want a drink?
Not bad.
What you see here is sand and sediment in Scott's water. And if you've seen AOC's viral clip talking about Georgia drinking water, you've seen this before.
This is what the drinking water now looks like next to that data center. And I think both of us can agree that neither one of these things are drinkable.
For people near data centers, this can happen, and it's for two main reasons. First is the heavy construction shaking up the local water table, and second is because of the vacuum-like pressure that comes when a data center is sucking millions of gallons of the town's water supply. Now, sand is obviously bad, but for those even more unlucky, they're worried about losing their water supply altogether. How long have you been out of a job?
It's probably been about a good year.
And how long did you work on the data center?
About 4, going on 5 years.
Five, wow. Yeah. So this project has been in development for a long time.
Yeah, it was all over the newspapers before they were even here, you know, just because everybody was so excited because it was bringing jobs and work and just things like that.
It does bring jobs initially, but as soon as it's done and built, yeah. then it's kind of...
Yeah.
And so it's built functioning and there's no more...
It basically runs itself and you don't need that many people, you know, after you build everything.
How well did they pay people to work on this project?
At first, it was barely like $14, $15. As of now, they pay people pretty good because they don't have as many people.
Is water plentiful in these parts?
You can see they've almost dried out this section of the lake right here.
Folks, behind me right now is the body of water that cools these data centers. And if you look over here, this is a lake that 5 years ago was full and now it is dried up. And I think it's fair to ask ourselves and be afraid, are these water sources gonna be dried up in 5 years, 10 years? And what are the implications on our everyday life when that happens? Will we be regulated to showering on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays while these data companies get full usage of our water? Will this clean water turn into toxic water? Will it creep through into our aquifers and water tables? And at what cost to the average person will these operations have? And the problem is that when you try and dig into these matters, oftentimes these are classified things protected by NDAs because it's company secret, company information. And we as the people, I think, have a right to know what direction this is headed, especially if it's our water supply and one of the most basic things that we need to live.
Folks, it may sound like I'm being overly dramatic, but you have to know what is happening behind closed doors. Across the country, data centers are making extremely lopsided, secretive deals with local governments that border on predatory. In many of these arrangements, data centers lock in massive water and power contracts that are shielded from the public eye. And because they get special wholesale rates, mega corporations often pay less for water and power than you do in your own town. Some states, like Wisconsin, are fighting back and requiring data centers to cover their costs, but in most cases, citizens pay the price, like in Virginia, where electricity prices have increased by over 267% in the last 5 years.
Does the town feel like this is a benefit to the community?
As far as having a job, maybe.
How do you feel about all this?
I kind of got a sore spot in my throat for it because of what I went through, but then when I was, you know, making money with them, you know, it was a good thing.
A lot of Americans, we fear that with this AI growth and this data center growth, that a lot of jobs will be replaced with AI, leaving a lot of people jobless while we have these really rich people at the top getting even more rich.
Well, I could believe it because at this point, if you're not building more like they are, it basically runs itself. And the only thing you have to do is maintenance.
Like, one of the biggest red flags is that we the people are gonna be screwed by these deals.
Yes. Your water bill will go up about 100% over a period of time.
I'm not sure. 2 years, 5 years?
Probably about 5 years. But the data center will pay the same amount every year for their water usage and power usage because they're viewed as essential.
These are the richest people in the world. I mean, we're talking about Larry Ellison in Port Washington, who's the second richest man on earth.
How did these folks end up getting reserved spots if they're not media?
That's the scene there. Hundreds of trucks moving tons of dirt. It's the sound Port Washington residents have been listening to 24/7. Work being done day and night.
We own this building. We're the taxpayers. Hey, you work for us. Us. Get it?
What you are seeing is concerned citizens trying to attend their city council meeting about data centers, but being told there's not enough room. So instead, they are pushed off into a separate area with no face-to-face contact with the city decision makers.
Is it full in there?
It's full. Yes.
And in one of the last Port Washington meetings, local resident Christine was forcibly removed by police.
Get off of me!
A Port Washington City Council meeting turned into a shouting match, ending with three people arrested on Tuesday, all of it because of a recently approved data center.
Get out of the way, Chief. Nope, get out of the way.
We cannot speak for all of you. But we will try and speak for you.
Thank you.
This is outrageous.
At this point, the question is not whether opposition exists. It clearly does. The question is whether this council is willing to acknowledge risk, accept responsibility, and change course when warranted.
I don't want to be hyperbolic, but I genuinely believe these the data centers and AI in and of itself could potentially be cataclysmic economically. Like, the people of Port Washington are immensely frustrated, as millions of Americans are across the country, because we don't want these technocrats swooping into our communities to steal all of our resources so that they can eventually take our jobs. We don't have the ability to live the American dream. It's essentially been stolen from us. All of these issues kind of compound on one another, and it's leading to a generation of apathetic, disillusioned, and frankly disinterested individuals who don't want to be members of a democratic society anymore.
It's like $15 billion into this Port Washington data center to create, what, 100 jobs?
By my calculations, if Port Washington takes the full amount of the new construction, their taxes will increase 50%. The city taxes will increase 50% over the course of the next probably seven or eight years. I think you should tell people that. Like, tell people that's your plan, and then see how excited they are about it.
Amanda Mueller lives a half mile from the site.
Right now it's very bright. We call it the land of the midnight sun. You can't see the stars anymore.
City officials say working overnight means the build out will be done and the city will see tax benefits sooner. But this group isn't holding their breath.
Hundreds of people just started showing up and expressing lots of concerns about the use of water and energy and the costs. And that momentum just kept growing and growing, and they were successful in getting the city of Tucson to back out and to agree not to annex the property, which meant that Beale was stuck with our 290 acres and all this plan that they had cooked up just fell flat. Knowing what we know now, you know, I wish we'd had all of those things in place before so that we would have had greater opportunity to stop the project, a lot more information, a lot more transparency, and just tools for community to be involved and draw the line.
Initially, when we interviewed Jennifer out in Tucson, it was a victory story. The people had shut down and the city council had shut down a data center coming to town. But I just saw an update that the Arizona Corporation Commission is trying to push it through despite the will of the people. And so it's not looking like a victory for the people. It's looking like a victory for big tech. We'll see how the story continues.
What are the revenue streams from a data center?
They are humongous. So, for example, if I plug in one server to another, that is $300 per month from that just one fiber connection. Now, there are millions of fiber connections inside of every single data center. The numbers are so large that you can't even comprehend how much money that it is.
Right now, all over the country, big tech is offering individual farmers tens of millions of dollars for their land and spending billions on construction. And you might be wondering, how will they be making all this money back? Because yes, they make subscription money by charging people $20 a month for ChatGPT, or they sell massive corporations AI software packages, and this does bring in a good chunk of change. But in reality, this money does not make a dent in what they are currently spending. Essentially, these tech companies are making a giant gamble to become the AI superpower of the future, which to them is a trillions of dollars winner takes all race. And if this bet does not pay off, the crash of this AI bubble will be felt globally. In fact, some experts warn that a collapse would wipe out as much as $33 trillion in market value, and this would plunge the stock market by as much as 40 to 60%. Yikes.
What do you see as the biggest misconceptions that a lot of people who are up in arms have about these data centers?
Again, it's educating on these smaller details. You know, internet. I'm not tapping into the town's, you know, fiber line. I'm bringing in my own. I'm not pulling residual power from the town. I'm, you know, increasing the consumption of power for the town, or I'm increasing the grid structure. So I'm not stealing anything. I'm not taking away from somebody that could use it. You know, I'm trying to bring more infrastructure and stability to a grid system or a network system or a community that needs jobs.
What comes to your mind when you see all this?
I mean, a big metaphor, a huge metaphor, a giant hulking carcass of a metaphor of industry that used to be built by American workers, by men using their hands with skills, trades. And obviously this was built by workers, but now, you know, we're talking to one of them that kind of got discarded. There's a bunch of reporting on how they promised 300 jobs and actually wound up hiring 14.
And these billion-dollar facilities only employ 100 people, some of them security staff, some of them janitorial staff, but they will claim that they bring 1,000 jobs or more to the area per building. But that's not the case. They use contractors that travel from outside the locality, and all of these jobs are not permanent jobs.
Their main workforce is the minor maintenance, what I was saying. Once the computers go down, they bring them in racks, and they just refurbish them.
And then, how long until it's robots maintaining them? How long until it's like a Tesla bot just walking around, just changing racks, checking switches?
And you probably could automate that like a car, like an assembly line.
If this giant carcass of a building isn't the perfect metaphor for what's happening all around America with these data centers, I don't know what is.
Kaiser, you've been looking into this extensively for the last 3 or 4 years. Tell me about that.
So it used to be warehouses, kind of. It started with development in Bensonville, Illinois.
Kaiser runs a YouTube channel called Stringer Media, and he's been spending the last few years going around the country covering communities that have been taken over by data centers. Today, we see what Microsoft has done in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin.
Essentially, a warehouse developer bought all of these people's homes. Perfectly nice houses. One day they're there, next they're gone.
You go from a functioning community to an industrial wasteland.
Yeah, yeah, everybody's just gone. So I could take you to a street that's been bought out.
To me, what I think of when I look at a place like this is, look, a nice little yard. Kids could play in the prairie. There was a bird feeder. There was a family here that had a great time, but we're in a time where a lot of people are economically pinched. And if you come to someone's doorstep and offer them way over market, a lot of people are in a position where they kind of have to take it, or they feel like that's their ticket to a future in America. And like, I think if we were in more prosperous times or the middle class was stronger, the data centers wouldn't have as much luck as they are emptying out these neighborhoods as they are right now.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. Most of these houses were older people. It's a lot of money. You know, they probably had these houses before even the highway was here. These warehouses and data centers might be abandoned along the line. Maybe they're obsolete.
Actually, a pretty likely option is that we're gonna be left with these giant shelves of buildings that in most of these agreements, the companies are not responsible for taking care of, and it's gonna be the people that have to deal with them. And they're not easy spaces to convert into human spaces again.
It's one of those gold rushes, you know? Everyone's trying to hop on the money, just do as much as they can, and eventually maybe it'll die down or something like that. And then what are you left with? Just destroyed nature and empty buildings.
Some people might say, if you're against data centers, you're against progress, and that's anti-American.
I mean, there's a strong current of that, but I disagree. I think it's very American to want to say, you know, we don't want to just have monopolistic overlords. We care about our communities. We want to have local community voice is very important, very American. AI is being dominated and developed by a handful of companies that do not care about the public interest. And so the types of AI that they're going to develop are not going to be utopian things. They're going to, you know, develop tools that are not very helpful, that put workers out of jobs, kind of poisoning kids' brains, stopping people from learning. Some people might call that innovation, but to me, that's just bad.
Look, the average American should be locked into to what AI and what data centers are gonna do in their lives. I think 30 million jobs in the coming years that we're gonna see lost from AI. Keep an eye on your community zoning. What I'll say is there are little signs or signals that will pop up when data centers are about to move in.
You follow Elon Musk at all, he's all about data centers going to space. So I'm all for it if that's the case, if that's where they go, 100%. But you're still gonna need some kind of position on Earth for them to be transmitting the data back and forth. Biggest advice or recommendation I can give to anybody is just do your research. If I have the answers, I'll try to answer them. If I don't have the answers, I'll help you research them myself. Hopefully form up an opinion based on fact, not emotion.
I am really nervous watching this data center story develop. It feels like it's out of control, but I do have to say I am a bit of a hypocrite because I use AI day to day. I use it to edit my writing. I use it to source research. It's truly an amazing tool. But to me, it's key that this is done sustainably. We have to prioritize people, their homes, their communities, their resources first before big tech. And right now it feels like big tech is just getting the seat at the table and we the people are shunted off to the side and our leaders, both local and national, don't give a shit about us. It's a troubling trend because right now they're trying to keep AI from being regulated for 10 years with the big, beautiful bill. And that could be disastrous. And I don't know about you, but I want a world that not only are you and me proud to live in, but that we can give to our kids. That is our duty. We need to do that. And to think that's even something that we might not do is outrageous. So I look at history, I look at presidents like Teddy Roosevelt that made the national parks, that loved nature and went after big business when it was necessary. And I look at what's happening in current day, and it feels like we're dealing with people that don't even go outside, don't smell flowers, don't touch grass, and don't care about our kids' future. And I don't like that at all. So we have to fight, guys. You have to organize locally. You have to get informed. And we can win this battle because just remember the Bugs Life movie, the ants outnumber the grasshoppers. So always keep hope, keep that in mind, keep fighting the good fight, and I'll see you next week. Peace.